Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. In this episode, I want to provide you with an update on the situation with the FTX bankruptcy. As you'll know if you've been following the channel, Sam Bankman-Fried, the founder and former chief executive, was arrested in the Bahamas and he's currently being held in jail there, awaiting potential extradition to the USA. So in today's video, I want to give you an update with regards to the investigation that's ongoing by John Wray. He's now submitted an additional bankruptcy report, which gives a lot more detail on the company and what was going on. So there's quite a lot of revealing information in there, specifically relating to Sam Bankman-Fried's defense, that he didn't know what was going on with regards to the Alameda exposure, and that he was very surprised, and that he thought all of this was really just an accounting mistake. And some of the comments and statements that John Wray has made have really put a different perspective onto all of this. I'll give you an update on what the situation is with regards to Sam Bankman-Fried, his application for bail, and when this trial is actually likely to come to court. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think is likely to happen over the course of the next 3 to 6 months with regards to this investigation, this case, and what the implications of this are for the wider crypto markets and the general economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you for a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters, so if you don't have time to watch everything, you can skip over stuff. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below, where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon, and Amazon shopping links. Sam Bankman-Fried was arrested on Tuesday, the 13th of December, and charged with 8 separate counts of fraud. The 8 charges relate to 4 areas of misconduct. Firstly, defrauding customers of FTX. Secondly, defrauding investors in FTX. Thirdly, defrauding the lenders to the hedge fund Alameda Research. And finally, violating campaign finance rules. In total, the charges allege that Sam Bankman-Fried defrauded investors out of $1.8 billion. In addition, Sam Bankman-Fried is also charged with executing transactions designed to obscure and disguise the misuse of customer funds. It's claimed that he preyed on customers, abused their trust, not only in his company, but also in himself as lead of that company. Now, on the day of his arrest, Sam Bankman-Fried's lawyers applied for bail to be set at $250,000. However, this was rejected by the judge as a result of the extreme risk of a flight risk. So they were concerned that he would just disappear. After failing with this request, Sam Bankman-Fried was taken to Fox Hill Prison, which is the only prison on the island. Now, unfortunately for Sam Bankman-Fried, Fox Hill Prison doesn't have a good reputation and was the subject of a damning report by the US Department of State in 2021. Inmates removed human waste by bucket, the government report noted of the jail, where often 6 inmates are crammed into tiny cells that are only 6 feet by 10 feet. Some inmates developed bed sores from lying on bare ground, the report said, of harsh conditions from overcrowding, poor nutrition, inadequate sanitation, and inadequate medical care. Sanitation was a general problem, and cells were infested with rats, maggots, and insects, the State Department noted. In addition to this, the Nassau Guardian newspaper said it saw rodents firsthand during a 2019 tour, with a prison guard confirming that rats run up and down all day, every day. Dogs don't deserve to live in the state that maximum security is in, the officer told the newspaper. Fox Hill Prison is regarded as so bad that some inmates have begged to be extradited to the USA just to escape it. In 2019, a pastor waived his right to fight extradition to Georgia, where he was ultimately sentenced to life in prison for rape and child molestation, because he feared being killed by gangs in the brutal Bahamian jail. Fox Hill ain't no place for nobody to stay in. I'm ready to go, rapist Don Martin told the magistrates who approved his extradition, the Tribune reported at the time. Many believe Bankman-Fried, who signalled his plans to fight extradition, should do the same, even though he faces a maximum of 115 years in prison if convicted on all 8 federal charges. So things have certainly changed for Sam Bankman-Fried over the course of the last 7 days. This time last week, he was still living in his luxury multi-million dollar apartment in the Bahamas and giving TV interviews all across the world. Now it looks like he's locked up in a cell with a whole load of other guys watching the rodents run riot. Now, in terms of when this case is actually likely to come to court, it's estimated that it could take anything up to 18 months to pull all the documentation and all of the evidence together. So we're looking at somewhere in the middle of 2024 before this starts in the courtrooms. So Sam Bankman-Fried, in face of the fact that he hasn't been given any bail, is likely to be incarcerated for the next 18 months, even if he's found innocent of all of the charges. Now, as you'll be aware if you've been following the channel, John Ray has been appointed as the chief executive of FTX. And this is a guy who has a wealth of experience in handling Chapter 11 bankruptcies. He was actually involved in the Enron case, which is the largest corporate fraud in US history. So this is a guy who knows what he's doing. And he's now submitted his second filing to the US bankruptcy courts with more information on what he's discovered following his first few weeks at the helm of FTX. And his initial findings look really bad news for Sam Bankman-Fried and his defense that he didn't know what was going on at the company and it was all a bit of a surprise to him and it must have been an accounting mistake. In terms of his goal, John Ray has stated that he, along with a comprehensive team, including experts and consultants with a wide array of relevant skills, are now working on behalf of the FTX group to achieve one fundamental goal: maximizing value for FTX's customers and creditors so that we can mitigate to the greatest extent possible the harm suffered by so many. In terms of his background, John Ray stated that he has over 40 years of legal and restructuring experience. I've been the chief restructuring officer or chief executive officer in several large and vexing corporate failures involving allegations of criminal activity and malfeasance, including the Enron bankruptcy. I also have experience in bankruptcies involving novel financial and cross-border asset recovery and maximization. In terms of comparing FTX to some of the other deals he's looked at, he stated that nearly all of the situations share common characteristics, ranging from gross mismanagement, excessive leverage, failures of internal controls, failures of external checks as a result of audit firm failures, or insufficient board governance. But never in my career have I seen such an utter fail of corporate controls at every level of an organization, from the lack of financial statements to a complete failure of any internal controls or governance whatsoever. Although our investigation is ongoing and detailed findings will have to await its conclusion, the FTX group's collapse appears to stem from the absolute concentration of control in the hands of a very small group of grossly inexperienced and unsophisticated individuals who failed to implement virtually any of the systems or controls that are necessary for a company that is entrusted with other people's money or assets. Some of the unacceptable management practices that the FTX group identified so far include the use of computer infrastructure that gave individuals in senior management access to systems that stored customer assets without security controls to prevent them from redirecting those assets. So basically what that implies is that there was no protection whatsoever on the customer deposits, and therefore FTX management were able to access that capital and use it for other purposes, such as giving it to Alameda Research. The storing of certain private keys to access hundreds of millions of dollars in crypto assets without effective security controls or encryption. The ability of Alameda, the crypto hedge fund within the FTX group, to borrow funds held at FTX.com to be utilized for its own trading or investments without any effective limits. The commingling of assets. The lack of complete documentation for transactions involving nearly 500 investments made with FTX group funds and assets. The absence of audited or reliable financial statements, the lack of personnel in financial and risk management functions, which are typically present in any company close to the size of FTX Group, and the absence of independent governance throughout the FTX Group. While many things are unknown at this stage and many questions remain, we know the following. First, customer assets from FTX.com were commingled with assets from the Alameda trading platform. Second, Alameda used client funds to engage in margin trading, which exposed customer funds to massive losses. Third, the FTX group went on a spending binge in late 2001 through 2022, during which approximately $5 billion was spent buying a myriad of businesses and investments, many of which may be worth only a fraction of what was paid for them. Fourth, loans and other payments were made to insiders in excess of $1 billion. Fifth, Alameda's business model as a market maker required deploying funds to various third-party exchanges, which were inherently unsafe and further exacerbated by the limited protections offered in certain foreign jurisdictions. So there are some really damning statements that have been made here by John Ray, and these are statements of fact. These are not conjecture or speculation. This is what he's found so far. And a lot of this actually ties in to the interviews that Sam Bankman-Fried has been giving. So he's essentially come out and said that he didn't have controls in place, he didn't have risk management, he didn't have anybody in charge of the Alameda Research exposure or to be in charge of how to actually contain funds. So he said all of this, But John Ray has now confirmed that it's all true. And the problem that Sam Bankman-Fried has is that just because he's admitted it doesn't mean that he's not liable. Actually, as chief executive and the guy behind this business, he's 100% liable. So he may well have admitted it, but that's not going to get him off the hook. So John Ray's identified that there were no controls, no documentation, no audits, no protection for the investor money. But he's also confirmed that there was commingling of funds. And this is something that Sam Bankman-Fried has categorically denied. He said that there wasn't any commingling, that customer deposits were not mixed in with FTX money, and therefore it all should still be there. But that is not true. And that is fundamentally the big problem here, because the money has disappeared. Now, one of the big questions that remains to be answered is, where is all the money? Where has the $8 billion that has disappeared gone to? What could it possibly have been spent upon? And John Ray, in his initial findings, is starting to put some colour into that picture. In terms of the starting point of where the money has gone, the commingling of assets is absolutely key. Once those funds became commingled, that meant that any activity that FTX or Alameda Research was involved in was liable to be the explanation as to where the money has disappeared to. So the first answer to where's the money gone to is the margin trading that Alameda Research was undertaking. If you've been following the channel, you'll be aware that Alameda was buying the FTT token, the proprietary token of FTX, the one that it had created. It was buying that in the market to keep the price up. So essentially, Alameda was creating a false market. It was artificially pushing the price of FTT up by buying up any significant quantities that were sold by holders. So this partly explains where the money's gone to, because the value of the FTT token has crashed. It was worth at its peak over $40 billion. Today, it is worth a fraction of that. So as Alameda was stepping in and buying large quantities of that token, a lot of that value was being eroded because the real value of FTT was falling. They were essentially paying a price that was significantly higher than it should have been if they weren't keeping the market so buoyant. So this goes some way to explaining where some of the $8 billion has gone to. It's evaporated due to the fact that the FTT value has crashed. So following on from the confirmation of the commingling of funds, FTX went out and spent $5 billion over the course of the last 12 months on a variety of different crypto investments. And as John Ray has identified, the value of those businesses and investments today is likely to be significantly less than it was at the time of making the investment. So that $5 billion may be worth less than $1 billion, could be worth even less than that today. So that would explain where some more billions have disappeared to over the course of the last 12 months. I'll come on to talk about John Ray's statements that he made to Congress earlier this week in a moment. But one of the things that he mentioned was a $1 billion loan that was made directly to Sam Bankman-Fried, and that's what's referred to here. So that would explain where another $1 billion of the FTX money has disappeared to if it was being loaned directly to Sam Bankman-Fried. Whether or not he still got that cash remains to be seen. This final point refers to Alameda Research's position as a hedge fund. It's buying and selling crypto coins all across the world. And doing that is a very risky business, particularly at this point in time, because the markets over the last 12 months have come down significantly. So unless you're very lucky or very smart, it's likely that over the course of the last 12 months, if you've been buying and selling crypto, you could well have lost some of that value. And once again, this explains where some of the FTX cash has disappeared to. The Financial Services Committee in the US held a meeting on Tuesday the 13th of December, which Sam Bankman-Fried was originally due to testify at, but obviously because he was arrested, it meant that he was no longer available. But John Ray did appear at that meeting and gave a verbal testimony of his findings to date. So let's have a look at a summary of some of the points that he raised. With regards to putting a final figure on the amount of money that's missing, John Ray stated that there aren't yet exact numbers detailing the extent to which funds were misused, but it's in excess of $7 billion. There were 7.6 million accounts on FTX and 2.7 million accounts based in the USA, but it's unclear how many lost money. It was confirmed that customer funds were deposited directly into Alameda Research as opposed to FTX accounts. The operations of FTX Group were not segregated from sister company Alameda. They operated as one company. As a result, there was no distinction virtually between the operations of the companies and who controlled those operations. When discussing Sam Bankman-Fried receiving a $1 billion loan from Alameda, John Ray said that loans that were given to Mr. Bankman-Fried were not just one loan, there were numerous loans. There's no description of the purpose of what the loan was, In one instance, he signed as both the issuer of the loan as well as the recipient of the loan. We have no information at this time for what purpose or use those funds were. That's part of our investigation. He went on to say that the use of FTX capital at Alameda was not incidental or accidental. The operation of Alameda really depended on the use of customer funds. That's the major breakdown here. Funds from FTX.com, which was the exchange for non-US citizens, those funds were used at Alameda to make investments at other disbursements. Alameda was effectively a customer of FTX.com, and Bankman-Fried owned 90% of Alameda. When asked if FTX had significant risk management systems, Ray said there were virtually no internal controls and no separateness whatsoever. Later in the hearing, Ray disclosed that there was no board overseeing FTX, aside from Bankman-Fried. So I think the biggest takeaway from this hearing is the fact that there was absolutely no segregation whatsoever between FTX and Alameda. John Ray's perspective is that these were run as one entity. And Sam Bankman-Fried is the majority owner of both businesses, obviously had complete control here. And that goes against what Sam Bankman-Fried has been saying. He's been claiming he didn't really know what was happening at Alameda Research. He didn't know what the exposure was, who was authorizing the access to the capital, that there was definitely no commingling in funds, and he should have put somebody in charge of all of that. What John Ray is saying is that the whole company was set up deliberately to operate like this, that customer deposits that were coming in for FTX were being deposited directly into Alameda Research accounts. So it wasn't even a commingling of funds. The funds were just actually going straight to Alameda Research. And that Sam Bankman-Fried kept no records and didn't give any explanations as to why he needed a $1 billion loan from Alameda using the money from FTX. So all of this looks really bad news for Sam Bankman-Fried. And the fact that we've still got over $7 billion of cash missing means that this is going to be one of the biggest fraud investigations in US history. And if he is found guilty, Sam Bankman-Fried could get over 100 years in jail. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because we're now starting to get more detailed information. John Ray is starting to disclose all of his findings to the public, and we're seeing that it was a complete shambles at FTX. Obviously, it wasn't being run as a corporate institution. It didn't have any of the rules and checks and balances that you would have expected a financial institution to have. And Sam Bankman-Fried has already admitted this, but when you're seeing it from somebody who's going in to do a forensic investigation, I think it really highlights the fact that this company was set up in the wrong manner from day one. And the fact that Alameda Research was able to access freely all of that capital, and that they actually changed the software to make sure that there were no limits, no checks, nobody trying to stop Alameda taking more and more money, really does indicate that there potentially was some criminal activity here, that this company was set up from day one to be able to do exactly what it wanted to. And Sam Bankman-Fried, who's already in jail in the Bahamas, is right at the heart of all of this. He's a 90% shareholder of Alameda Research. So I don't think he's got any case for defense to say he didn't know what was happening at Alameda Research. He wasn't aware of the exposure. He didn't know there was commingling of funds when he's the owner of that company. So in terms of who's going to benefit the most from all of the money moving to Alameda Research, it's obviously him. But it's not just that. There were also loans given to Sam Bankman-Fried, more than $1 billion. A $1 billion loan. Who needs a $1 billion loan? What can you possibly do with $1 billion that you can't do with $100 million? It's just incredible the amount of money that was moving around within this company. And I think it's very naive to expect that you were going to be able to get away with this. Sam Bankman-Fried's come out and held his hand up in all of these interviews to say, yes, I made some mistakes, I'm really sorry, I wouldn't do it again. But that's no defense. Ignorance is no defense, and claiming to be an idiot and not know what you're doing and not know what's happening within your company isn't a defense. That's not going to get you off the hook. So what we're seeing is more and more detail coming out, and the more we see, the more incriminating it is for Sam Bankman-Fried. And I think it's likely that he will be extradited to the USA. And as I mentioned earlier, it's going to be around 18 months before this trial actually comes to court. So in the absence of any bail, which is unlikely to be given, he's going to be spending the next 18 months in jail. And if he's convicted, it may well find that he's got a jail sentence that means he spends the rest of his life in prison. So as you know, this is an ongoing fluid investigation and things are coming out all the time. So as soon as I hear any further news that I think is exciting and informative, I will share it with you. Thanks for watching today. Please give me a thumbs up if you haven't done so already. Don't forget to subscribe if you're not already on the list. And thanks for watching this video all the way through to the end. Really appreciate it.